Mini episode 485 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. It's Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your favorite football talkers anywhere on the interwebs. We are here today breaking down the AFC at midseason, as we promised. So, going through the bottom teams in the AFC and then the top teams, which is a very, very short tier, and the best middle spots in between.
It's about time we got to this.
Yes.
This show has been screwing up my handicapping, by the way. The delay in doing this show.
You've explained that to
Yes, I've become so obsessed with, okay, this is where these teams are going to be at midseason when we do this show. And I've gotten too cute with the picks.
Okay.
The last couple weeks. But I digress. We're here to talk about the AFC.
Okay.
A conference that, in my opinion, has been a little bit better than we thought it would be.
Exactly.
It's deeper. It's deeper.
And here's the thing, too. In my most recent power rankings, you can always find those at the same place you find the show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. I actually have, for cumulative conference power rankings, the NFC and the AFC exactly even at the moment, which ties almost never happen. The reason being, they have the best division in football, as it was a year ago in the NFC, the West, and by far the worst in the South. And that kind of balances it out there, as stinky as the South has been, which has been a shock to us.
Yeah, so I think the best way to start this, as we kind of revisit what we said before the season and repick the playoff teams, or in some case just reiterate what we said before, is to start at the bottom. It's a small bottom. It's a small top and a small bottom and a huge middle in the AFC.
Don't have to say much about the bottom because they suck, and we knew they would suck. Everybody kind of did.
Yeah. I think the four teams that are very easy to eliminate from AFC playoff contention are the Jets, Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Oakland.
Yep.
Now, what's interesting, interesting might be the wrong word, but of note, at least to me, is, now you remember before the year I said the Jets would have a worst-case scenario season. I picked them 4-12. That was about as low as I saw anyone pick the Jets.
Right.
Jacksonville and Oakland, obviously, everyone had as the two consensus worst teams in the league. And Tennessee, you know, I wanted to give them a puncher's chance, see what Ken Whisenhunt could, your boy, could do with Jake Locker. The answer isn't much.
Right.
He has cycled through quarterbacks similar to the way he did in Arizona to no success.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. I don't know why he didn't take the Detroit job where they at least have something resembling a franchise quarterback in Matt Stafford.
Don't
instead
know
of
why
this
either.
Mess.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Maybe he loves Zach Mettenberger that much. I don't know. But
he wanted to take selfies with him.
Yeah. But anyway, the Jets, Oakland, and Jacksonville, I think what's interesting, to go back to my original point about those three teams, is I have them finishing with the three worst records in the league at the start of the year. They're all probably going to not even meet those expectations. I don't see any of them winning more than four games.
Right.
Tennessee's probably a four or five win team itself. Since beating Kansas City in week one, which caught a lot of people off guard, maybe, hey, Coach Wiz has got it going on here, all they've done is beat Jacksonville by 2 points. And the Jags, remember, I believe lined up for a game-winning field goal attempt that was blocked.
That's right.
So they're all bad. Those four teams are out of it. Those are the only four teams that I am comfortable saying will not make the playoffs in the AFC.
Okay.
Agreement, disagreement?
I would agree. And as far as it goes with the Jets, let's just say this, that what you were saying prior to the season, it's a thing where if they've even undershot your expectations, and it sounds like they have, it's a thing where sometimes there's just a snowball effect with a season. For me, one of the classic examples of that wall would be the 1990 Cleveland Browns. You go back to Raymond Claiborne's holdout in the preseason, and a couple bad things
happened.
You
dating yourself here. Right?
That team got very old overnight.
Is this Tim Brando I'm looking at across the table here?
Yeah, as I speak about a team getting very old overnight as opposed to myself. But no, that's sometimes it just happens, and the Jets are in one of those shame spirals this year.
If the Jets get clobbered again next week by Pittsburgh at home, does Rex Ryan get fired during the bye week? That's something we should talk about.
I don't think so.
You think you think based on what he did?
Woody Johnson loves him.
Okay,
he'll get to the end of the season.
He's going to finish the year.
Yeah.
He'll get a thing where they give a nice pat on the rear out the door.
Yeah, and there's a lot of heat right now also on John Idzik because, again, they left a lot of money unspent in the offseason, which, again, I will say this, Bill Barnwell.
Sounds like a Rick Morris government.
Sounds like my gripe about my Cleveland Indians year in and year out. But Bill Barnwell at Grantland did a great job of not exactly debunking that, but explaining why and explaining that they could have spent the money, but they could have spent it would have been inefficient on that. It would have been like government bloat and waste.
Yeah, so, oh, there we go.
You know, yeah, it all ties together.
The bottom line is, I said this before the year, the fact that the team thought it was good was great for me because when you think you're good and you're not, that's the recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Let's just say this, too, before we move on from that. There's a commonality to this, and I'm friends on Facebook with a number of people from that area, good friend Russ Cohen from Sportsology, and the head-scratching year in and year out about New York teams, like, how come the Yankees aren't a World Series champion? How come this isn't the year for the Mets to contend? It just is one of those things where you're watching it from the outside, and it's just like, do you people even watch your own teams? I'm not singling out Russ, but I'm saying there's a lot of myopia in New York. We can see it more clearly from the outside that these teams aren't very good a lot of times.
Knicks, too, you could throw in that. They're
well, nobody thought they were that good, though. That's the
I
thing.
I think they do.
Maybe they do.
Okay, so that's the bottom.
Yeah.
To the top, which is even smaller.
It is. And equally on equally expected, I should say. These are the teams we knew would be there.
Denver, New England, it's very obvious you're going to be the top two. Now, after last week's results where the Patriots, maybe not so surprising to you, but fairly surprising to me, dismantled the Denver Broncos and now have the inside track on home field. Whether or not they hold that, I don't know. But what I do know is Denver and New England are going to finish 1-2 in the AFC and have the byes. Again, just like last year.
Barring major injuries,
yes. Now, I don't think there's anything more to say. I mean, they're both very good. They're all. I mean, if there has been a positive outlier when it comes to analytics over the last 15 years in the NFL, it is the New England Patriots and whatever team Peyton Manning's on.
Right.
And this just continues it. They're always good.
Yep.
They never dip down. Even the year that Brady missed with New England, you know, they still won 11 games that year. Didn't
That's
make the
true.
Playoffs, but they were still very good. So
yep.
It's no surprise there. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Before the year, we had San Diego on that same tier as those two teams. Started out great for the Chargers. 5-1. We look kind of smart. All of a sudden, they've lost 3 in a row. Do we downgrade them?
Have to put them on the next tier, but I'm going to show my trademark stubbornness when it comes to writing them off altogether. So, but they're not on this tier at this point. You don't drop 3 games in a row like that, and to some of the teams that they did.
I'll say this. It's interesting. New England's, is the exception to this. I've noticed something. I've looked at the Jets, we just talked about, they've yet to have their bye. Baltimore has yet to have a bye. They've dropped, we'll talk about them momentarily. They've dropped a couple in a row now. San Diego just having its bye this week. They've dropped their row. The teams with the late byes, they're limping into these things, man.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
True, but it might bode well for a turnaround once they get it.
And I'll say this with San Diego, and we'll cycle back to them in a second. After the bye, they host Oakland and St. Louis. Those look like some get-well games. All of a sudden, they're 7-4 and sitting pretty.
Yeah.
But the last 5 are going to be tricky. Again, we'll cycle back to them.
Okay.
Is there anyone that we want to elevate to, this team's I'm pretty confident saying they're a playoff team. Is there
ironically, anyone? I mean, the obvious candidate is the one that a lot of people at the beginning of the year would have insisted was the third best team in the AFC. But, again, you and I looking at the analytics on this from the last couple of years dismissed that, and I'll stand by that. Whether we were right or wrong, I'll stand by it. But the Indianapolis Colts, the thing that's surprising to me is the defense – with Robert Mathis being out of there. I mean, I don't know how they're doing it. They've really developed a nice young core, and I think more than offensively, that's what's catching everyone by surprise.
Yeah, we all know Andrew Luck's going to be good.
Yeah, and it's not like the running game has been that much better than we thought it was going to be. The defense has been the special sauce that's really kind of lifted this team to the next level. At this point, with the defense being what it is, which is not outstanding, but certainly much, we thought it would be, I think, below average. I think that's fair to say.
Oh, I thought it would be very bad.
Yeah.
I think it would be close to average.
Yeah.
The Colts didn't really limp into their bye. They're off in week 10.
Right.
But after this, they have, after the bye, it's weird this year. Have you noticed? It seemed that there's a lot more teams that are playing three straight home games or three straight road games this year. Have you noticed that?
I think the schedule makers were drunk. Yes, I don't know how this happened.
It just seems like there's a lot. That used to only happen a couple times per year. A team would have three straight on the road, three straight home. It seems like almost every team has it, it seems. Ironically enough, I say that because the Colts play three straight home games after the bye. And here's the thing. So the only contender to unseat them in the South was Houston, clearly. Tennessee, Jacksonville, we've bought over, they're back.
Right.
Indianapolis has already won at Houston. They have currently a two-game lead on them already in the standings.
Yep.
And they will host Houston later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I want to believe in some of the analytics that say, all right, yeah, the quarterback is a huge advantage for Indianapolis. We shouldn't minimize that, by the way, because it is. By the way, Houston going to Ryan Mallett after the bye.
Okay.
They have ditched Ryan Fitzhipster.
And that may help, actually.
I'm not a buyer on Ryan Mallett. I'm not a buyer on either. They desperately need to draft a real quarterback. I don't know if Tom Savage is the answer. He's a project.
Right.
He's not ready to play in the NFL right now. But anyway, I just don't see the Texans being able to make up that discrepancy. Already two in the hole.
Right.
Could be swept. Probably will be swept by the Colts. You lose the tiebreaker then. I mean, unless if the Texans win every other game, maybe there's injury. And by the way, two of the Colts' home games coming up in the next three, Jacksonville and Washington. The other one's New England coming off the bye, which is a huge game. They may drop that one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have three home games, you're probably going to go 2-1. Colts, I'm doing a mea culpa similar to you. They're going to win the AFC South.
Yeah, I think so. And by positioning,
which is different
the Colts,
than what I had before the year. I had Houston.
And by putting them where we did, we're sort of making them the segue between – they're a bubble team between the top level and between the rest of the AFC there. I mean, just them merely winning that division, which I think we both agree now is going to happen, doesn't automatically make you a top-tier team because that is a horrible division. So, you know,
it's by far the weakest in the AFC.
Oh, clearly, clearly. So, you know, are they a top-tier team? Kind of. And Houston is definitely a team that's down in the messy middle. I don't think they're very – I'll agree with you. I don't think they're very likely to cop a wild card spot.
Here's
the thing.
We said before the year that it was just the division winner was getting in from there.
Right.
I don't
I stand
see,
by
yeah.
it. Yeah.
So, all right, let's get into the messy middle, as you so-called it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to win the North.
Yeah.
And it's funny, if we now are both saying Indianapolis is going to win – the South, that would be three repeat division winners in the AFC, Denver, New England, Indy. The North, then, it doesn't have to, but you think that you're not going to get four repeat division winners in the same conference.
It's less likely, obviously.
I don't like Cincinnati. We'll talk about them in a minute. I'll push them to the side
because
I don't have them winning this division.
I don't either.
It's going to be Baltimore or Pittsburgh.
I agree.
I said Pittsburgh before the year. And it's funny, I jumped off of them pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were writing the obituary of the Pittsburgh Steelers after that Browns game when they got really beat up inexplicably. And remember, then they fell down to Houston at home on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And then insanity broke out in those last 2 minutes.
Right.
And since then, Ben Roethlisberger has just exploded with back-to-back six TD games. The Ravens,
as though he was in a CD bathroom with a skank that he was raping.
Well, the only thing – damn it, do I say it? The only thing he's been raping lately is opposing pass defenses.
Oh,
yeah. That's so bad. All right. But what's funny is even that Baltimore game. Remember last week, I picked Baltimore to beat Pittsburgh.
Right.
Which went against my – and – it started out, Baltimore was in control of that game. Then there was a couple turnovers, and all of a sudden, next thing you knew, the Steelers were blowing them out.
Yeah, they can get pretty red hot. There's no question about that. Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of injuries for Pittsburgh.
Right,
a lot of teams have injuries, but Shazier's hurt again.
Right,
he's been unable to stay healthy. That secondary is bad.
It is. I've been saying that all along.
You know, Troy Polamalu, I mean, it's over.
You know, my bestie is a Steeler fan, believe it or not. I actually associate with some types. And I've said to him, I don't know why you guys never draft cornerbacks, but I'm grateful. You know, so their secondary is not.
Yeah, what is it, Cortez Allen?
Yeah.
He's not very good.
That secondary is not good. Again, you jumping off the Steelers, though, that was a Stan Van Gundy-worthy master of panic moment on your part,
I have to say.
Yeah,
I mean, it was after like 4 weeks. And I'll tell you what, now I'm back on them. They're going to win the division. Here's the thing. I'm going to talk about the schedule a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this before the year, and I'm doubling down on it now.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC South, or pardon me, the AFC North plays the NFC South this year, and the AFC North has dominated in those games. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincy all still play New Orleans, okay?
Okay.
Baltimore and Cincy must go to New Orleans.
Ooh, good luck with that.
Pittsburgh hosts New Orleans. That's a big thing. Baltimore was swept by Cincinnati, which hurts their division record. Now, Pittsburgh may wind up splitting with all three teams when it's all said and done. They split with Cleveland. They've split with Baltimore. They've still got two left with the Bengals.
Right.
I just think that, and let's take a look at Pittsburgh's remaining schedule here. Let me just make sure I feel good here. Teams. This is real professional.
I was glancing at it before. It's not enough to where it's going to endanger them from winning.
I thought that their schedule got lighter. If I remember from before the year when I looked at it, their schedule got lighter at the end. They've got now. Ironically, they've got two winnable road games. Now they are not a team that's limping into the bye. They've won three in a row. That they're in the last week of byes, week 12. But they have the Jets and Tennessee on the road. The last couple of years, it'd be very Steeler-like for them to lose one of those two games.
It would be.
But I can't see them losing both.
Right.
Then they get the home game off a bye. Oh, God, and the home game versus New Orleans is off a bye, too.
Ooh.
That's really advantageous. They do go to Atlanta, which I know the Falcons stink, but it's hard to win in Atlanta.
The Rooneys are traditionally the commissioner's butt boys, so I'm not surprised they're taking it easy on them.
Now that was uncalled.
Well, you know, it's
true. Here's they also host Cincinnati the last week of the year. That game could be for the playoffs, for the division.
Could be.
I'm saying Pittsburgh to win the AFC North.
I won't disagree with that. I think Baltimore is right there as a wild card possibility as well. I said Baltimore to win the division at the beginning of the year. They've been up and down. And I say this
before last week, they did not have a bad loss, though. Both games was – I do not think them getting – swept by Cincinnati is indicative of those two teams. Both were coin flip games.
They've had a bizarre year. One of the strangest years in the entire league offensively. You look at the running game, you would have thought that the loss of Ray Rice even as
that was addition by subtraction,
it turns
out.
It was, the way that he played last year. Justin Forsett has been playing much better than anybody would have thought. Steve Smith played way over his head the first several weeks.
He's coming back down to earth, as I predicted.
Yeah, and as an aggrieved Torrey Smith owner, I am finally starting in some small ways to get a little
bit of
fantasy production.
You've been aggrieved for a while as a Torrey Smith owner, haven't you? You've referenced that many times on the show.
All year. I am a bitter, aggrieved Torrey Smith owner, but I believe better days are still ahead because there's nothing really wrong with him. He's not limping. It's not anything like that. He's just got to kind of get his head in the game, learn the new offense more, as he has been doing. It's a strange story with them. I agree with you on Cincinnati being a fraud. Everybody was ready to anoint them as the best team in the AFC after the first couple weeks of the season, and we have seen since they're nothing special. Could they still either win the division or get one of the remaining spots?
No, I'm saying no. I'm
not going to say it's impossible, but it's not impossible.
You know how I'm a believer in playoff turnover?
Right.
Let's get to this. Let's start knocking teams out. So we've named the four division winners. Let's knock teams out. I'm going to make two controversial choices here.
Okay.
I'm knocking out Cincinnati.
Okay.
And I'm knocking out Kansas City.
I'm going to knock those out, yeah.
Cincinnati, 5-2-1.
Yeah.
They host Cleveland this Thursday.
Yeah. So they'll get a W there. I hate to say
assuming.
It.
Okay, so they're 6-2-1. They're still not going to make the playoffs.
Agreed.
This is they have a point differential of +7. Spoiler alert, it's going to be tough this week against the Browns. Tougher than I think a lot of people think.
Right.
And
everyone was acting in the first couple weeks of the season like you couldn't pass on them. That's clearly not the case.
Okay. Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Let's consult the schedule again, shall we?
Okay.
They have, they're a very good home team.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't
This just in.
Yes. They beat Baltimore. They beat Jacksonville. Let's say they beat Cleveland this week again. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt Thursday night.
Okay.
That's three in a row at home. They would have played three straight wins.
Right.
They're 6-2-1. This is one of the most bizarre scheduling circumstances I've ever seen. They go from three straight at home to three straight on the road all of a sudden. At New Orleans.
All right.
Uh-oh. At Houston. That's a coin flip game.
Yeah.
At Tampa. Again, you never know. I mean, the Bucs are going to surprise.
Yeah.
They beat Pittsburgh.
Right.
So let's say they win one of those three.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. Okay. So now they're 7-4-1 going into the final
then
four.
Then the collar starts getting tighter.
Yes. Well, I don't know. The last four games, they will play Pittsburgh twice.
Okay.
They're at Cleveland.
Okay.
And they will host Denver on Monday night. A game where if they're still if they're still working on that home streak, guess what? It's ending there.
Right.
I think that every negative thing that has been written about the Cincinnati Bengals over the last few years since Andy Dalton took over will come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
They will blow it down the stretch. You heard it here first. They are not. I am. You can't ever say 100% because I don't know. I keep looking into the future. I'm telling you, Cincinnati ain't making it.
I think that's very, very likely. Looking at the other team we haven't talked about in this division, my Cleveland Browns, I don't want to say this, but I will. They're a fraud at 5-3 because they should be 6-2. They've played down to the level of Oakland and Tampa Bay and just barely limped past them. An impressive win against Pittsburgh at home.
They did beat New Orleans at home, and I think that win's going to look a little bit better as the season moves on.
Well, it might, but here's the thing, though. And when you look at how New Orleans finishes the year, I think this will be the case. This is the funny thing about perceptions, and they're kind of a fun house mirror sometimes. Nothing can happen to retroactively change the fact that New Orleans was not a good team the first 6 weeks or so of the season.
I see. I disagree. I think they were an unlucky team. Did you?
Other
than Dallas, they have not been out of any game this year.
They haven't been out of any game, but they couldn't close them out. They just didn't look like themselves in a lot of instances. I'm not as impressed with that win that they had there. I think they kind of gave it to the Browns. And, again, for as much as – and this is a hilarious
thing,
they
deserve
thing,
to beat Baltimore, probably, the Browns.
You can go back and forth on that. I'm not as impressed. It's funny.
Look, here's the thing with the Browns. I tell this to everyone.
Yeah.
Just real quick. The first four games were all decided at the end, right?
Right.
They went 2-2. That's what you're supposed to do on games like that.
Yeah. Look, they're a 500 team.
And yes, they are.
That's what I'm saying.
Look, I'm going to agree with you. Ultimately, let me just get on board with you.
Yeah.
They're 5-3, but with the limited talent. And they're 5-3 with Josh Gordon being suspended.
Yeah.
Tight end Jordan Cameron's now missing time with a concussion.
Hugely underachieving defense.
Alex Mack out for the year. The defense has not played up to par.
Secondary's been brutal.
But here's the thing. The schedule, obvious. Look, they probably needed, for them to make the playoffs, they probably needed to sweep that Jacksonville, Oakland, Tampa three-game stretch. They didn't.
That'll cost them.
Their schedule is harder down the stretch. Now, here's the thing. I've got the Browns at 8-6 going to the last two games, which are at Carolina, at Baltimore. I could see them, like Cincinnati, gagging down the stretch.
I could see them beating Carolina easily. I don't think anything of Carolina at this point.
Yeah, road game, Browns playing for a playoff spot, and you're telling me they won't choke?
I don't know. Well, here's the funny thing, though.
I mean, you can't just assign wins and losses. The bottom line is this. I have the Browns at 8-8 not making the playoffs.
Yeah, 8-8 sounds about right. This week's USA Today Sports Weekly has Brian Hoyer on the cover, and it says, believe, is Brian Hoyer winning over the Browns? This is a hilarious thing as far as typical overreaction of the national media. You know, everybody in the beloved national media, the ESPN
media
complex.
Oh, this is going to be bad by you.
But they were saying before the season, everyone swore on a stack of Bibles Johnny Manziel would start day one.
Yeah,
and
but
I
you
told
know what?
Everyone that would listen that he wouldn't, that Hoyer was the incumbent. So now, because they're 5-3 and Manziel
I
hasn't
think
played,
it's a surprise.
Is Brian Hoyer a franchise quarterback?
He's not.
But the national media, well, he's good enough to hold off Johnny Manziel.
I think that's a surprise.
Who we know is a
nationally.
Future Hall of Famer.
No, they're not saying that.
The national media is overreacting.
No,
Brian
you're not.
Hoyer's
you
an
know
average
what stinks is the loser Cleveland media is what stinks, who now wants to give Brian Hoyer a contract, which is wrong, too.
Yeah, they're a bunch
Nobody's right except me.
They're a bunch of lapdogs. But the thing of it is that, again, when you look at this and – you probably get a lot of the same reactions from folks around town here that I hear of, like, well, we're 5-3. Don't crap on the moment. That just proves to me that people don't know what good football looks like. They're confusing an 8-8 team with a legitimate playoff team.
I think that you can be happy with what the Browns are doing. I mean, it's surprising.
I'm not happy at all because they needed to be 6-2 to have a chance of making the playoffs.
Did you think this was going to be a playoff team before the year?
No, but I can't be. I love the revisionist mentality on this because it's a thing of like, well, you wouldn't have thought that at the beginning of the year. Yeah, but they had 6-2 in the palm of their hands. They had a playoff spot in the palm of their hands.
Teams lose games they shouldn't all the time. This idea right. that, like, if that's true, then Oakland and Jacksonville should never win unless they play each other. But they do.
But why should I be happy about them being 5-3 and finishing 8-8? I'm not. I'm not happy.
I mean, you shouldn't be happy, but I mean, again, I mean, look, I said they
I'm
were
not
seven.
As, I'm not bitter,
I said they were
but
seven
I'm not
and
happy.
I said they were going to be a 7-9 team, and people thought that was too high.
Before
the year.
I think I said 6-10.
And they're going to be over that.
They're going to overshoot
the best thing for the Browns is to finish in last place in this division, which I think they're going to because I have the Bengals at 8-7-1.
I think
the Browns go 8 because that way they get the Jets, Oakland, and Jacksonville all on the schedule next year.
Although,
with two first-round picks.
Next year is a brutal schedule, though. I was already looking ahead.
Well, they get the NFC West, don't they?
NFC West, and I think it's I'm trying to remember what the other division is Is it it's the AFC West too? It's not going to be pretty.
It's going to be tough.
But so we'll eliminate the Browns from it as well.
Houston, are we convinced that? Look, it's funny that when we've talked about the analytics.
Yeah.
By the way, the Browns will be that magic group that improves their win total by 4 wins, according to us. But they're not going
to
make the playoffs, which is odd. And I'll say the same for Houston. I think because of the wild swings we've seen in win totals the last couple of years. When with Houston, we were like, okay, well, they're an obvious candidate to jump up and win. So usually when you see that the last couple of years, they wind up making the playoffs. Houston's going to probably be, in terms of wins and losses, the most improved team from last year. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, they're only coming from 2 wins. They're not Kansas City last year.
Right.
They're not. They're a 7-win team, maybe 8. They still do play Jacksonville twice, Houston, by the way.
And spoiler alert for when we get to the NFC. There's a team in the NFC that I thought was going to mirror what Houston is doing right now and haven't, and that's a surprise. So we'll talk about that when we get to the NFC.
Okay.
But Houston's about where we thought they were. It just won't be good enough to win the
division.
They've
got a home game for – I mean, I'm looking at Houston's schedule after the bye. It's not hard. But I think ultimately they fall short. Unless if Ryan Mallett comes in and is a world – which, I'm not a Ryan Mallett fan.
Right.
Then I don't see them making it. So Kansas City, we kind of glanced over them. I said they're not making it.
They're not making it, no. They're better than we thought, though. I will keep saying that.
I said they were a 6 or 7-win team before the year.
There's a floor on most Andy Reid teams, and I think we forgot that coming into the year.
Look, if they win this week, they will be at 6 wins.
Yeah.
What is their schedule? But here's the thing. They've got a fairly challenging schedule.
Right.
Down the stretch, because they still have to play Seattle.
Right.
They still have to play Arizona.
Right.
They still have to play Denver again. They still have to play San Diego again.
Right.
So, you know, add those up. Not easy games. They just, to me, were before the start of the year, were such an obvious candidate for regression.
Right.
I can't help but think they're going to finish somewhere in the middle. They're not going to be...
Well, they're not making the playoffs. We know that.
Oh, you
I
do?
Can tell
okay.
Anybody. Yeah, yeah. I
mean,
can tell
they are
Kansas
certainly
City.
Better. Now, here's the thing. Okay, so let's talk about the remaining teams.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore. Let's go.
I'll say Baltimore gets the wild card.
They've played too well not to make it.
Yeah. All right. So we agree.
Here's
on
what's
Pittsburgh,
interesting.
Baltimore. Okay.
I said this before the year again to go back. Maybe we were overthinking the entire AFC. You know, you don't like Colin Cowherd, and that's fine. But he brought up a point, and it might be oversimplifying, but. Gosh darn it, he might be onto something.
Then it look sounds like something he read on the internet.
Look at the quarterbacks, in the AFC.
Okay.
There are 6 quarterbacks in the AFC I would identify as franchise quarterbacks.
Okay.
Please stop me when you disagree. Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger. Philip Rivers. Joe Flacco.
Okay.
You guess. Stop it.
Okay.
Joe Flacco, Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Are those your 6 playoff teams?
Yeah.
Because they're,
could be,
Alex Smith is probably the 7th best quarterback in the AFC, and he's a replacement
he's
level.
He's David Eckstein. He's a gritty winner guy that the analytics crowd can't understand.
I can't understand him. So, Is that your playoff, those
that
six?
That is, that is. I'm sticking with San Diego to
all
the
right.
grim, bitter death.
Okay.
I am on San Diego. I don't like what they're doing right now, but I'm a believer.
Okay,
I
well,
I am known for sticking to this, you know, sometimes even in the face of...
You know me. I will turn on anyone just like I turned on you, as well. Axl Rose just once as once saying. So there are two
I'm
teams...
stubborn.
There, well, I am not. There are two teams we have not mentioned yet, and I believe they bear mentioning.
In the AFC East.
Yes, Buffalo and Miami.
Both better than we thought.
Not me. I had Buffalo making the playoffs.
Yeah, okay.
Ironically, they're gonna get to 8-8. They may get to 9-7 and still not make it. It's gonna take nine wins.
That's shocking. Yeah.
It's gonna take nine wins to make the AFC.
I agree.
Here's the problem with San Diego. Okay.
I know you don't like their schedule.
I hate their schedule. So I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I think. They've got the get-well games, as I like to call them, against Oakland and St. Louis, both home after the bye.
Right.
So they'll be at 7-4. Want to hear who San Diego's last five games are?
Okay.
I'm going to tell you anyway, even if you
okay.
say no.
Go ahead.
At Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
Versus New England. Versus Denver. At San Fran. At Kansas City. Teams don't back into the playoffs, Rick Morris.
That's pretty brutal, but here's the thing,
I don't
too.
Think they're winning more than two of those games. The
two,
hardest.
They'll
the,
win
the,
two or three.
Two at most. They're going to be 9-7, and here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they lose at Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Tiebreaker.
Against they would have lost it against both Baltimore and Miami.
Yeah.
And they won't, and they're assured they're not going to have it against Kansas City because they lost the first game.
They did. So that's here's the thing, though. Like,
I think they may get screwed on the tiebreaker.
You may understand where I'm coming from when I say this, or you may make a Kyle Ross face at me. I don't know which. But here's how I look at the other side of the coin, because I have a lot of respect for San Diego. And
so do I.
All right, here's how I look at it. Okay, I look at the exact opposite of that. They also have to beat the San Diego Chargers. Should that be a layup for New England or Denver or San Francisco or whatever?
No, I mean,
they're a formidable team.
Look, they always give Denver
a
good
shot.
It's
a good team
on a good team. They give Denver a good shot. I'm just saying that is... That is not the last five games. That is not the December schedule I would like to play.
But it's
if I am fighting for playoff contention.
It's Denver at home, which is marginally better.
At New England at home, it's a night game. But, man, that is as brutal a final
That's
five
tough.
Games as any team has in the league.
That's
and
tough.
I thought that you talk about, you're not happy. Browns should be 6-2. Browns,
right.
The Chargers, if they were 6-3, I'd be a lot more confident than I am now that they're 5-4.
They'll ruin pissing away some of these games. I can't help but wonder.
Especially that home one against KC.
Yeah. I mean, who's speaking of pissing, whose cornflakes did Dean Spanos piss in to get that with kind of a schedule here? Because, again, this is all about the league enforcing the way they want things to go. Why would the league do that to them? I don't understand
what?
That. Yeah.
The league that wanted to do this to them?
Yeah. Don't you listen to Alex Jones? I got the look right there.
Get out of town. Get out of town.
Oh.
All right. Rick Morris, I'm going to shock you here.
Okay.
Before the year, I had my wild cards as San Diego and Buffalo.
Okay.
I am ditching both of them.
Wow.
Baltimore gets one of them. And I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins to make the playoffs.
My 1A team. They've been better than I thought.
That win over New England was kind of head-scratching at the time. It's just looking better and better as we move along.
It is.
And I'm going to tell you something. Mm-hmm. Their 37-0 demolition of the Chargers last week was as impressive as any game I've seen from any team this year.
Completely shocking.
I was stunned, too. The more, you know, we both picked San Diego.
Yeah.
And I did it kind of begrudgingly, even though it was a West Coast team, early start time.
Mm-hmm.
The bets were too one-sided. I just thought the Chargers were a better team. And look, there are a lot of times when I'll look at a result and I'll say the better team lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to make a case that the better team lost when it's 37-0.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, I could live to be 100 and not understand what went down in that game. But, yeah, Tannehill has been progressing a little bit better. They've been rallying around Joe Philbin. Why, I don't know. But
here's the thing. I think it's ultimately going to come down to tiebreakers. And
it
I
is.
Think that's how
it
San Diego's
is.
Going to get screwed. I think that 37-0 win is going to come back.
Yeah.
It was not only was it impressive just looking at it individually.
Right.
I think it's going to be so important when you're doing tiebreakers. Now, I'll say this with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They were 8-6 last year and choked like dogs, lost two home games to
right.
the Bills and Jets. This year they've got the Vikings and the Jets at home the last 2 weeks.
That's gonna be helpful.
They still play the Jets twice.
The funny thing is, there's a point of comparison that I would make right now as far as some of these games in the AFC, but it's for completely different reasons than what I'm going to point out, and that is the SEC West. In this first year of the college football playoff, everyone keeps looking at these eliminator games, and OMG, it's a zero-sum game in the Egg Bowl or in the Iron Bowl, or, you know, one team's going to knock another team out. With the mediocrity in the AFC, we have a number of eliminator games going on. The loser of Buffalo-Kansas City this week, for example, is going to be very hard-pressed to make the playoffs.
But and conversely, the winner's in good shape at 6-3.
Very good shape, yes.
So here's why. Buffalo, I guess I should attempt to write their epitaph and say why I'm not picking him anymore.
Okay.
On the positive, this team, I am convinced, will do anything, including sell its collective soul to the devil to make the playoffs this year. They've got new ownership. Doug Marrone will do anything to impress the new ownership.
Total short-term thinking.
That's why they went with Kyle Orton over E.J. Manuel.
Right.
But they've lost both running backs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed that they're 5-3.
Right.
But can they go 5-3 again? At the second half, their schedule is a little harder. I think, ultimately, now, talk about big games. Next Thursday is Miami hosting Buffalo. If Buffalo can sweep Miami, then they're in great shape.
Right.
And maybe we're talking about the Bills making it after all. I just think that Miami, I don't know. And if they can beat Baltimore, too, at home, they get Baltimore at home, Miami.
Right.
That's another tiebreaker for them.
Right.
Based on the schedule, my six AFC playoff teams are now Denver, New England, Indy, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Miami. And
okay.
If the ones I picked at the start of the year make it, then I'm going to say that was my better pick.
All right. I'm still with you on everything except I'm subbing in San Diego for Miami. I still think they're going to find a way. I still think they're not a better team at the moment. You're right about that. 37-0 means something. I think by the end of the season they will be a better team.
We'll see.
Will be themselves again. They're not really themselves going into the bye, no question.
No. And well, they're very injured.
They
are a team that needed a bye in the worst way. In the worst way.
Miami
does still have to go to Denver, New England.
Yeah.
So, you know, San Diego hosts Denver, New England.
Right.
Miami goes there. So it's going to be close. I mean, that last week in the NFC, I think there's going to be about 17. At the end of the day, I think you're going to see six teams finish with 8-9 wins. Maybe more. Maybe
very,
seven.
Very possibly could. So we're looking at a scenario
I just can't
now.
Wait till Chris Berman goes to the tiebreakers. I love when he does that.
You love all things Chris Berman. Well, we're looking at a scenario now where it's likely, maybe not super likely, but likely, since New England has the tiebreaker over Denver, that Denver would then be the team to play Indianapolis in the playoffs and thus have a little bit of a tougher
Well, keep
road.
This in mind. Pittsburgh beat Indianapolis, so they could get a tiebreaker for that third seed.
Well, that's
I
true.
I could see both those being 10-win teams
that's
and Pittsburgh
true.
Getting
that,
it.
That could possibly be the case, but
it's going to be so
in our
how jumbled is this NFC?
It
or
is.
AFC, pardon me.
That's how jumbled it is.
Yes, yes.
But, well, in looking at this, you know, it is. It's certainly jumbled.
10 of the teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. There's the bottom four.
Right.
We'll take out, and the top two, Denver, New England. That's six teams. There's 16 in the conference. The other 10 teams, I project, will all finish between 7-10 wins.
That's very possible, yeah. It is showing you that, and that maybe these are the baby steps towards getting true parity with the NFC versus right now there's just parity because the NFC has the worst conference in football.
The worst division,
the NFC South, worst division, and it's pulling them down. Let me ask you this. We go through several incarnations a year of looking at the NFL, making picks. On our earliest ones, probably the ones last winter, you and I were in accord on New England coming out of the AFC. You peeled off in the summer, ended up going with Denver. I've been sticking with New England all along. I see no reason to change.
Damn it, I don't like that you're doing this to me.
Okay.
Because last week really threw me for a loop. I really thought, I was shocked. Not that New England won, because it was in New England.
Denver can win there, by the way. Let's not pretend that it's a foregone conclusion just because if New England hosts the AFC Championship game, Denver can win there, no question. But I'm still going to go with New England.
Losing teams have not – the Super Bowl loser, as we know, has infamously not returned to the Super Bowl the following year since Buffalo did it 3 years in a row.
One of the reasons I went with New England, they were the plausible alternative. Maybe not the most scientific reason, but again, history shows that.
God, I wish it was last year again when it was just so easy and I was so right on everything. I don't know, Rick Morris.
Well, here's the thing, too, though. Like,
I don't know. What do I do?
If Denver makes it back, it's a thing where, as you know, with all of this kind of stuff, right? And it's one of the reasons that we gently
New England can win in Denver, too, by the way.
That's true. That's true. Just because they didn't last year. Let's not forget how banged up they were. It wasn't a true test there. As much as we like to sort of gently tool on Mark Lawrence on the program here from time to time, it is a thing of, like, you can get too caught up, obviously, in looking at things from the past because it never happens until it does. And Denver, in all fairness to your prediction, Denver looks like one of those teams of where it never happens until somebody does it. And if somebody's going to defy history, it looks like these Denver Broncos would be that team.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I think they're not going to. I'm still going to stay on New England. Because New England's getting better. Their trend line is up. Denver started the season supersonic, and it's, you know, I'm not saying that the last
week's
game.
You know what?
What?
Let's embrace debate. Damn it.
Okay.
Denver wins the AFC. They're better. You know what?
Okay.
They're better than last year.
All right.
And they won the AFC last year, and I still think they're a better team. I think they ran into a buzzsaw last week.
They have better talent than New England.
By the way, New England just needs to finish with the same record as Denver.
Yeah.
They both have two losses.
Right.
New England still has to go at Indy off the bye.
Yeah.
And they go at Green Bay still.
New England
has
a tougher road to hole. Yeah.
Denver will – I don't see Denver losing more than two more games.
Yeah. Denver's got the easier schedule.
I still think Denver can, despite the loss, can pull off home field.
Sure they can. Sure they can. I think they definitely have the easier schedule. It could still be in Denver.
They have Oakland twice still.
Well, that's kind of all you need to say right there. They're in a division with
Oakland. Oakland,
with Oakland.
Well, New England wraps up with three straight division games at the end, which they can easily sweep.
That's true. That's
because because the Miami one's revenge. So
yeah. Well, again, I don't know how much debate we're embracing here because we're both saying New England and Denver still head and shoulders above
Everyone
the AFC.
I mean, I think
yeah.
You're
saying Denver. I'm saying New England. You would kind of expect the two people would be split on that. There's no real consensus on who the better team is coming out of last week because everyone would have said Denver going into the game. Denver was favored at New England, notwithstanding the fact New England never loses there. That's how much respect there was. And
well, they had looked historically great.
Yeah. People are now more split, as they should be.
Don't forget, New England got – whatever happened to that New England team that got annihilated by Kansas City on Monday night?
Yeah. Well –
they certainly didn't limp into a bye week, did they?
No. Two things. First of all, we talk about outlier games during a season. That's going to go down as one of the bigger ones, what happened there. And second of all, as we said, hello, Kansas City's better than we thought they were.
Yeah.
We don't think they're a playoff team, but they're better than we thought. A primetime game at home, they got up for it. All right, so you're saying Denver. I'm saying New England to come out of the AFC. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of odds we give either of those two teams in the Super Bowl. But that will come in the NFC discussion.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.